So at the moment, most of Sydney's fresh produce comes from outside of the basin, but we source around 20% of total food demand from within the basin. So 20% of the total food supply. Obviously, things like grains, for example, that are produced with broad scale agriculture need to come from further afield. But we produce a lot of vegetables. We get a lot of our leafy greens and Asian green vegetables from within the basin. We also get around 40% of our eggs from the basin, a lot of poultry meat, as well as some stone fruit, but mostly vegetables, eggs, and poultry.
So when we're talking about the basin, how far does this stretch around metropolitan Sydney? Where are we looking at?
That's a good question. There's no particular definition that's widely adopted. However, generally, we're talking about up to the Hawkesbury River, down south to through Camden and Wingicarabee, and out to the Blue Mountains.
Why is it so important that we continue to grow produce within the Sydney Basin as opposed to import from elsewhere?
There are a couple of reasons for this. Firstly, there's some fresh food that it's really important that we grow really close to market. So if you picture herbs and leafy greens, a day or two after you buy them, they start to wilt and look pretty bad. That's because they need to be picked, sold, and used within a matter of days or hours. So having those grown really close to market means we reduce food waste in that a lot less perishes before it's purchased, and means that we can get those as fresh as possible. Another reason why it's good to have food production close to the city is resilience and sustainability and also food security. So we run the risk of becoming very vulnerable to external shocks such as fuel price rises or natural disasters. If we don't produce a lot of our food within the basin, we can become very vulnerable to, say, an increase in the price of petrol, which would increase the price of transporting food into the basin. So we can insulate ourselves from a lot of those potential stresses and shocks of the future by making sure that we produce food within the basin.
There's a number of things, though, when we're talking about this that put producing within the basin at risk. And one of the main things is that the population continues to grow, and where are we going to kind of situate everyone? We can't just put them out where they don't have access to all of this. So how big does that issue of population growth play into continuing to source our food in a reasonable distance?
It's a really big issue. So Sydney is growing at a very rapid rate. We expect to add another 1.6 million people to our population by 2031, which is a very large increase. We've experienced a lot of population growth over the last few decades as well, and that is already impacting in particular on peri-urban areas. So as our city has grown, we tend to have sprawled out into those peri-urban areas, which are the areas around the edges of our city. And that's where traditionally agriculture has taken place and food production has taken place in the city. So when we sprawl out onto those lands, when we convert them to housing land, we lose that production forever. And as we continue to grow, as we continue to accommodate an extra 1.6 million people, we're going to see a continued loss of that. And the need to add roads and other infrastructure to support that new population means that more and more land is consumed for that.
And as well as causing irreversible damage to these fertile lands or lands that we need to grow, for the people who are out there, for the farmers, this must have a huge strain on them as well.
Yeah, that's right. So farmers in Australia already are facing some pretty difficult challenges. They have rising import costs and declining profits. They're facing a changing climate and unpredictable climate with regards to rainfall. But now they're also having to accommodate new neighbours, and residential neighbours and agriculture don't go together too well. There's lots of noise and smells associated with agriculture that people who live in peri-urban areas don't often like and don't often expect. So we see a lot of land use conflicts arising between residents of peri-urban areas and farmers who wish to and who need to be able to operate their farm throughout the day from 4:30 a.m. in the morning till the end of the day. They might need to put some smelly fertilizers down to make sure that their crops grow quickly, and often residential neighbors don't like those smells and sounds. So what we're seeing then is local governments are forced to try and accommodate both neighbours and often end up placing some pressures on farmers to change their activities and often in a way that results in declining profitability for those farmers.
Let's look at 10 years down the line if this is to continue or if we're to, you know, continue to sprawl out into these areas, and what would happen to where we're sourcing our produce? Would we have to look elsewhere, and what would that mean for the consumer?
Yeah, so our modelling shows that we'll likely decline if we continue to sprawl in the same way that we have in the past and in the same way that we are planning to through things like the Metropolitan Plan for Sydney. It looks like our ability to meet the demand for food within the basin will decline from 20% to 6%. So, and that's probably a conservative estimate as well. So it could decline to less than that. So what that means is that we will only be able to supply 6% of the total demand for food from within the basin. Now, of course, that means we need to get food from elsewhere. That's likely to be from areas in northern Queensland, which are suitable for growing vegetables and other crops year round. But it's also going to mean we're more reliant on the areas of New South Wales that are going to become more vulnerable to drought and climate variability as our climate changes. And we may also be more reliant on bringing food from overseas. Now, of course, bringing food those further distances has other implications. It has costs in terms of not only economic costs of actually trucking or flying food a greater distance, but it has significant environmental costs associated both with food waste from spoilage throughout transport, as well as the greenhouse gas emissions from transporting either by road or air significant distances.
How can we practically look at coming up with sustainable solutions to try and keep our food production within the Sydney Basin? Or what are you doing here at ISF to look at that?
Some of the things that we are considering include right to farm measures, and the New South Wales government has just taken a great step in the right direction by introducing policy that intends to preserve and protect farmers' right to farm on their land. So what that is about is trying to avoid those land use conflicts that arise as a result of residential neighbours living beside agriculture. At present, our planning system and the other systems that are relevant don't tend to prioritise agriculture as a land use, and a huge importance is placed in New South Wales at the moment on jobs and the economy and housing, which of course are all important. But that does mean that often when decisions are being made about how to utilise a piece of land in future, agriculture drops to the bottom of the list. And we believe that we do need to prioritise agriculture as a land use in the basin. We need to recognise the important role that it plays in contributing to the city's sustainability and resilience. And we need to find ways of protecting it. Other measures include valuing the total economic value of food production on that land. So at the moment, we tend to look at a simple economic valuation to compare which would be a better use of a piece of land. So at the moment, in an overheated housing market, residential land use often comes up as the best land use because that has a greater economic value. But what we are trying to do is say, well, if we valued all of the benefits that we get from having agriculture in the basin, such as a contribution to fresh air, to cooling the urban heat island, to supporting biodiversity in the basin, we might have a really different story there. We might actually see that agriculture might provide a greater suite of benefits than housing might. So what we are trying to do is provide some tools that might help the planning system to better compare different land uses to come up with a more sustainable solution.